Church. More from Solid Rock Community. The following audio is Church. More from Solid Rock Community. The following audio is Church. More from Solid Rock Community. The following audio is.
So today, as we wrap this series up, I want to talk about specifically one thing. I want to talk about the role of comfort in our lives and the role of comfort in the lives of other people. And the reason this is so important is because what we're going to talk about today, this is part of the answer to the question that we've been asking. What do you do when you find yourself in a set of circumstances and there's really nothing you can do to change it? And why would I continue, you know, to believe in a God that would allow the kinds of things that many of us here have experienced and the people that we love and the people that we're close to and the people that we care about are experiencing as well? So this is part of the answer to those questions. And so if you have your Bibles, I want to get right into this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to begin at verse 3. And what's so amazing about these verses is that they're written by the Apostle Paul, who experienced extraordinary adversity in his life. Here's what Paul says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Paul says that our Heavenly Father is the Father of compassion, and most of us here know what compassion is, and that our God is the source of all comfort. Now, the reason this is a little bit problematic up front in this particular letter that Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, in this letter, is that, and this will let you know that Paul didn't just have his head in the clouds, he didn't have his head in the sand, he was a realist when it came to you know, just life. The reason this is a little bit challenging is because just a few chapters later in this very same letter, the Apostle Paul is going to tell us that the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort gave him a thorn in the flesh. We're not really sure what that thorn in the flesh is. A lot of theologians have debated to what that is or you know, what it may or may not be. And certainly the first century readers of this letter that Paul wrote, they would look at this and go, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about, Paul. But anyway, Paul says that this Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, gave him this thorn in the flesh. It was something that was very humiliating, something that, you know, somewhat, you know, debilitating, permanent, and certainly embarrassing, that the God of all comfort, that the Father of compassion, He's going to say in this same letter, is the one that gave him the thorn in his flesh, to whom he went to this Father of compassion, went to this God of all comfort and prayed, I'd really like for you to remove this. And God's response to him by saying, no, I'm refusing to remove that. I'm not going to do that. My grace is sufficient for you. Which causes many of us here this morning to say, okay, time out. See, that's my dilemma right there. That's my problem. You know, trying to believe in a good God that allows bad things to happen. You've just sort of opened up this thing that I'm conflicted over of how can I continue to trust that God is the God of comfort, that He is the Father of compassion when I'm experiencing things that are so far from compassion. And if He is who He says He is, if He's the God that I've been told that He is, then certainly God can step into my environment, He can step into my situation, He can step into my set of circumstances, and He can change things. He can turn, you know, things around. He can do something about this. And here's what I want you to hear this morning. When you open up the pages of the New Testament, and you look at the authors who wrote the New Testament, and especially Paul in particular, they understood that dilemma. Because the same guy who says, God allows something bad to happen to me with a purpose, is the same guy who says, you know what? I continue to believe and I continue to trust that God is the God of compassion and God is the source of all comfort. And the word comfort that Paul is using in this passage that we're going to look at, it's a different kind of comfort. It's not just sympathy. It's not just, you know, a pat on the back or a pat on the head or, hey, here's a Hallmark card or, hey, here's a verse or, hey, here's a couple of prayers. You know, call me in the morning. It's not that kind of comfort. It's like an empowering comfort. empathy. It's comfort that brings courage. It's comfort that brings change. It's the kind of comfort that just sort of, you know, gives you the strength, gives you the fortitude, the internal fortitude to just keep going on. And Paul says, that's the kind of God that I serve. That in the midst of all that I'm facing as an apostle, in the midst of everything that I'm facing as a person, in the midst of everything that God has allowed to happen to me, I continue to believe that God is a God of compassion, and I continue to receive comfort from God in spite of the fact that He chooses not to change certain circumstances. Now, here's the point of that. When you find yourself wrestling with the fact, and all of us wrestle with this, I wrestle with it, every Christian I've ever met wrestles with this. When you find yourself wrestling with the, you know, the bad things that happen in the world and, you know, a good God, what you need to understand, what I need to understand, is that the men and women that bring us our worldview of God, the men and women that bring us the story of Jesus in the New Testament, the men and women that bring us the theology of the New Testament, the principles that we've been looking at over the last several weeks, they understood that tension and they continue to believe in God anyway, which means there's a way forward. That the pain and the tragedy that, you know, happens in this world does not mean that you have to abandon faith or give up hope in a good and compassionate God. And so Paul says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion. Listen to this. And the God of all comfort who, and then he just dives right into this, who comforts us in all our troubles. Now let me ask you something. When you're having trouble, and you don't have to raise your hands, when you're having trouble, do you pray for comfort? When you're having a bad time, do you pray for comfort? No, you don't pray for comfort. You know what you pray? You pray what I pray. I want this to go away. I want this trouble to stop. You don't say, you know, God, this is so awful what I'm going through right now. You know, he's sick or she's sick. You know, just would you just comfort us in this? We don't say that. We're like, you know, forget the comfort. You know, the pastor can comfort me. I need you to do something that the pastor can't do. I need you to step into my world. I need you to make this go away. I need you to change this. I need you to heal somebody. You know, I need a job. I need to get into that tech school after all. I need to get into that conference after all. I need you to do a miracle. And so we don't pray for comfort. We pray for miracles. We pray for change to happen. And as we've talked many times before, we've seen throughout this series, you can approach your Heavenly Father and you can ask Him anything that you want to ask Him. But here's what the Apostle Paul says, that God is the God of all comfort, and in the circumstances that He changes, there will be comfort. And in the circumstances that He chooses not to change, here's one thing that you can count on. You can count on the comfort of God. Which is a pretty big deal when you're in a set of circumstances and there's nothing you can do to change it. Obviously, you keep praying because we believe that God is able to do anything, but just right now in this season, and many of us have been in seasons where we've been praying for years and years and years and it seems like there's no change. We never stop praying, but right now, there's not enough money you can throw at it. There's not enough time you can throw at it. There's not enough energy you can throw at it. You can't manipulate the circumstances. But right now, it just is what it is those circumstances. And yet, Paul says you can count on the comfort of God. And then he goes on. Check this out. Who comforts us in all our troubles so there's a purpose. And I'm like, okay, well, let's see. I wonder what that purpose is. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we will be comforted. Is that? No. He comforts us in all our troubles so that, listen to what he says. He says he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can. It's like, what? So that we what? Yeah, God is the God of all, you know, comfort, and he comforts us in our troubles. And then there's a purpose, and the purpose is so that we can. And that little word can means that we're empowered to do something, that we're enabled to do something. To which I say, well, I want to be comforted so I can get out of this. I want to be comforted so that, you know, I can change my circumstances. I want to be comforted, you know, so that I can, you know, overcome this. And Paul's like, wait. Paul says, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can, or that we're empowered, or that we're enabled to comfort those in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves receive from God. Now, this is huge. This is huge. He says, God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble. God comforts us in our troubles. And why does he comfort us in our troubles? So we'll be comforted. Yeah, but it's bigger than that. He comforts us in our troubles so that we will then have the ability, we will then have the capacity to turn around and comfort those who are in any and all kinds of trouble. To which, you know, I'm like, okay, well, I would rather you change the circumstance than comfort me in it, right? In the church that I grew up in, it was like, yay, amen, let's make that happen. That's what that's all about. And the Apostle Paul, this is huge. The Apostle Paul who loves God, the Apostle Paul who loves Jesus, believes that he is the anointed one, believes that he is his Jewish Messiah, believes that he is the Son of God, believes that he rose from the dead, believes that, you know, he did all these miracles. This very same man, the Apostle Paul, says, you need to understand, there are going to be times when God is not going to deliver you from, but God is going to deliver you through. And when he delivers you through, he's going to do something in you that is so powerful and so unique, you are then going to be able to pass that along to other people. That God comforts us. And let me just put this. God comforts us so that we can comfort others. That's why God comforts us. God comforts us so that we can comfort others. In fact, I want us to say this out loud together, okay? You ready? Can we say this together? You ready? Here we go. God. So let me ask you a question. Why does God comfort us? What? Why? Okay, one more time. Everybody, really good. Here we go. God. Yeah, and I'll just add something a little bit to that. God comforts us through others to comfort others. See, that's how this works. That the God of all comforts, that God, and regardless of whatever you face or whatever it is you're going through, remember he said, any trouble, all trouble, any kinds of trouble, the God of all comfort comforts us in order to equip us to comfort others. He goes on. For just as, and this is really kind of challenging to try to understand, Paul would write certain things in Scripture, even other writers in the New Testament would go, man, Paul's a little bit difficult to understand. And this is one of those cases. He says, for just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Jesus or the sufferings of Christ, so also, or in the same way, there's an equation here, so also is right in the middle of this verse here, sort of a balancing between these two statements that Paul makes, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. And so here's what Paul, I think Paul means by this. The phrase sufferings of Jesus, sufferings of Christ, that can refer specifically to the actual sufferings of Jesus at the end of his life. You refer to that. But most students, most theologians believe and understand this to mean that the sufferings of Christ, that Jesus suffered simply because Jesus was human. He was God and man. John, you know, tells us, John 1st chapter, God was manifested in the flesh, but he was man as well as God. I mean, it was all everything that Jesus suffered. He got cold, he got hot, he got lonely, he got left out, he got abandoned, he got betrayed. Everything, come on, everything that you've suffered in life, to some extent, Jesus suffered in life. He spent a night alone. He worried about the future as much as the Son of God can worry about anything. He faced a dark night with something in front of him that he did not want to go through, he did not want to experience. You think about whatever it is that you've suffered. You think about whatever it is that you have faced or you know, in some similar way, Jesus suffered that. So the Apostle Paul says, for just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Jesus or the sufferings of Christ, in other words, just like there's a parallel, just like there's a relationship between what you have suffered and the fact that Jesus has suffered, in the same way, our comfort also abounds through Christ. And what that means practically is this, and this is a huge, huge concept and idea, that our capacity, this is huge, our capacity to comfort is determined by the degree to which we have suffered. That our capacity to comfort other people is determined by the degree to which we have suffered. That's why if you've ever, you know, gone through a very, very difficult time in your life, and it's just one of those set of circumstances that you're like, oh my gosh, I can't even believe I'm going through this, but you're in it, and you're sort of in that dark, dark place, and people are, you know, they're trying to say all kinds of things to you, and they send you texts, and they send you letters, and they send you flowers, they're doing their very best, you know, to comfort you, and inside you're thinking, you don't understand. You don't understand what I'm going through. And you know what? You're right. They do not understand. And then you meet someone who understands. It's different, isn't it? It's different. There's something about being, you know, face to face with someone who's been where you have been or where you are. And when someone has been there, when someone walks into your world while you are there, I'm telling you, there is a strength, there is a level of support, there is a level of understanding, there is a level of comfort that you will not get anywhere else. When a person who is suffering deeply meets another person who is suffering deeply in a similar way, I'm telling you, there is just a thing. This is something that happens. It's something that goes beyond education and goes beyond spiritual knowledge, goes beyond theology, goes beyond pastoring, goes beyond friendship, goes beyond, you know, even in depth in some cases of relationship. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, he points to this. He says, God is the God of all comfort, and God is going to comfort you directly, or God is going to bring comfort to you through other people. But the purpose of that comfort isn't simply just so that, you know, you and I can be comforted. The purpose is that is so that you can take that comfort, and from time to time, you're going to be that person that walks into someone's room or walks into someone's house or walks into someone's office or cubicle or, you know, walks into the hospital room, and you're going to be able to look them in the eye, and you don't even have to say anything. No words at all. You can go, you know what? I understand. I know what you're feeling. I've been there. I know what you're going through. I know the fear. I know the concern. I know the anxiety. I know because I've been there. But here's what else I know. There's life on the other side of that. Fear not, despair not. You don't have to give up. And I'm not telling you that because I've got a verse, and I'm not telling you that because I'm a pastor. I'm telling you that because I've been there. And I've received comfort, the comfort of God, and I am here to bring that very comfort to you. Because your capacity and my capacity for comfort is limited to the degree to which we've suffered. So he goes on. He says, if we're distressed, talking about, you know, his fellow workers that are going with him, because they're going through all kinds of stuff. He says, if we're distressed, check this out, it's for your comfort. And your salvation, it's like, what? What? Yeah. You know, me and my guys, you know, we're going through some really hard stuff because, you know, we'll be, you know, on this missionary journey, and we'll go into these cities, and they'll throw us out of the city. One time I was stoned, and they left me for dead, and then they just sort of got me up, and then, you know, we kept going. We're going through, you know, all kinds of stuff, all kinds of, you know, things are happening. And then Paul, you know, again, theologians kind of, not really sure where they all agree or not agree on this, but he had some really bad eye problems. And then he had, believe it or not, the great Apostle Paul had those moments when he would seemingly have seizures. And it was very humiliating, very debilitating. It was permanent, very embarrassing. And Paul says, look, he said, all this stuff that we're experiencing, all this stuff that we're going through, all those moments, all those times where we've had to go to God and say, God, I'm in this, but you got to somehow give me endurance. You got to somehow give me strength to make it through that. Paul says, all of that, he says, that's for your benefit. That's for you. It's like, what? Yeah. All of that is so that we can say to you, you can make it. You can do this. You don't have to give up. You don't have to give up hope. You don't have to give up faith. If we're distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. He continues, if we're comforted by God, it's for your comfort. In other words, here's what he wanted these first century readers to understand, and here's what we need to understand. This is going to change maybe your whole view for some. The reason we're receiving comfort from God is not simply so that we'll be comfortable. That's not why. We're receiving comfort from God, and then we can stand in front of you and say, you know what? You can be comforted as well. We're living, we're eyewitnesses to the fact that you can endure this. You can get through this. We've been comforted so that we can bring our comfort to you. So if we're comforted, he says, it's for your comfort which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. Then he continues, our hope for you is firm because we know that just as we share in our suffering, so also you share in our comfort. See how that works? It's kind of like, that's why I don't read the Bible, Dave, okay? That's why, right there, because you have no idea. So I want to read this through one more time for us, because here's the thing. For some of you here this morning, somebody here this morning, even if you don't read the Bible, even, you know, if you're not even sure if you're a Christian, even if you're not even sure about Jesus, just none of that, just for a second. You need to go home, get by yourself, and you need to read these verses right here. Because in this letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, which you can visit today, it's an actual city, in these verses right here, in 2 Corinthians, for some of you this morning, this is going to lodge in your heart for sure. Are these words, and for some of you, these are going to be life-giving words to you, because in here, for some of you, you are going to discover, you are going to find the initial purpose for your pain. This will be the beginning step for you in discovering why in the world would God allow, and why didn't God bail me out, and why didn't God answer the prayer the way that I thought God, you know, should answer that prayer. And part of the reason is God has designed comfort as something to be received and something that we also pass along. So let me read these verses to you, and then we'll wrap this up. Here's what he says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. That God comforts us so that we can comfort others. And again, this is often the very first time, this is the very first environment in which many people suddenly begin to understand. They begin to see it in a different perspective. Suddenly, many people begin to find purpose for their pain and why it is that they're there. So to summarize this whole principle, while I'm waiting, while I'm waiting, while I'm waiting, here it is. Comfort those who need comforting with the comfort that you have received. Comfort those who need comforting with the comfort that you have received. Now, I want to tell you, over the years, I've seen so many examples of this, amazing examples, some not as dramatic as some, but it's so encouraging when I read or hear these stories, because of the kind of stories that take the real life role that we live in and the real life circumstances that many of us here, you know, face every single day. And anybody that, you know, does what I do and the other pastors here in the church, and any of you that are community group leaders, you understand this. These are the kinds of circumstances that we see a lot. And it's why we love ministry for sure. But these are the stories that remind us that, you know, these aren't just words on a page. This is a real dynamic. This is a real principle. This is something that's real, and it makes a big difference. It brings purpose to our pain. And it answers the question at some level, you know, to some degree, why in the world has this happened? And why would God allow this to happen? And is it possible that anything good, is it possible that I could get anything good from all of this? I have a friend, a couple friend, who actually used to go to Solid Rock, who both of their children died in their, I believe they're in their late 20s, from a devastating disease. And of course, you know, they were devastated like any parents would be. And as a result, you know, going through that difficulty, they decided they wanted to reach out to other parents who had lost children to that same disease, devastating disease. I knew this couple when their kids were little, and I saw them when they got this disease, and then I was there, you know, at the funeral when they died. And so they wanted to reach out to other parents who were facing the same thing. And when I thought about it, I contacted them. They live in Denver, Colorado right now. And I said, hey, would it be okay if I just mention just a portion of your story? And they wrote me back this incredible email and just kind of their experience through that whole thing. And their whole attitude was like, you know what? If our story can help anybody along the way, hey, we're up for that. Go for it. So I want to read you just a part of what he wrote. Here's what he said. He said, when you suffer through the deep sorrow and tragedy of losing your children, and then meet someone that has or is losing his child, he says, there is an immediate emotion. Your immediate emotion is compassion and deep care for them. And he called it common suffering. Remember what I said, you know, when you meet someone who suffered deeply you meet someone who suffered in a similar way as you, it goes beyond theology. It goes beyond spiritual knowledge. It goes beyond even friendship. There's an immediate connection that happens. And that's what he said here. He said that it's a common suffering that you instantly can relate to. And you want to listen to their hurt and their journey through sorrow. Listening not just with your ears, but from your heart. And then he writes this. Check this out. He said, I've been asked many times as a co-leader of this group, how are you dealing with all of that? And how is it that you seem to be so healthy? And then he writes this in his email, because many of the people in his group were Christians, but he said most of them were not Christians. They weren't believers, but they were asking this question, how can you be so, how are you making it through this? How are you being able to be so healthy through all of this? And he says, my answer was always the same. It's not me that you see strong. It's God who gives me inner strength to carry on. It's like, what did you say? God? You still believe in God? Of course I believe in God. You believe there's a purpose? Of course I believe there's a purpose. If there is a way for God to use me to help comfort others who've lost children, then I'm available. It's like, wow. There are men and women who have been through the pain and the heartache and the tragedy and the complexity of divorce, reach out to help others. And although they would never choose divorce again, and although they're some of the most adamant, you know, anti-divorce people around, they have brought their pain and they brought their lessons, brought their, you know, while I'm waiting set of circumstances, which many of them are still in, to the people who are in the midst of that to say, hey, let me just, Dave's an okay preacher, but he don't understand this. Other people are sending you, you know, letters and I understand, but they don't get this. They don't understand this. I've been there. I've done that. And I just want you to know that there's hope and there's life on the other side of divorce. And I'm here to bring you my story, and I'm here to bring you the comfort that I've received to comfort you, because that's what God has called me to do. I think about Emily Roth. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about Emily, and I said, hey, Emily, can I, you know, share your story again? And she said, oh, absolutely. And what she experienced growing up, and many of you heard her testimony here a few weeks, a couple months ago, about you know, being sexually abused, you know, as a young child, and just the tragic experience of that. But you also heard her say how God brought healing to her life, and how God brought comfort to her life. And as many of you know, Emily, she's strong in God. Her faith is strong. I mean, she's living proof of the strength and the comfort of God. And let me tell you what is so incredible to me. Instead of putting that all behind her, she's like, no. This is for a purpose. This is for a reason. I want something to come from this. You know, all those years I suffered, all the questions, all the confusion, I want something to come from this. And God has opened doors for her to share with women all over this area, all over our Northwest Ministry Network. She's been able to share her story, her testimony with other women. And you know what she's doing? She's just simply saying, you know what? I want to take the comfort that I receive from God and others, and then, you know, I want to share that. But then she took a step further. She said, I want to formalize it in such a way that I can bring comfort to others. So she wrote her book. And if you haven't read her book, you need to read her book. It's a powerful testimony. And whether one person is comforted or 100 people are comforted, she's taken the comfort that she's received from God and she's comforting others. And there's so many examples of this. People who grew up in, you know, as a foster child, helping parents who have foster children. People who have lost a spouse, willing to help others who lost a spouse. Rick Warren, whom I highly respect, whose son committed suicide, as many of you know, after battling mental illness for years, And now Rick has forums. He's got conferences that he's pulling together to try to help parents who have family members that are battling mental illness. He's trying to have conferences. I just got invited to a conference in California that he's putting on for pastors to help, you know, parents who are, or people who have family members that are battling this mental illness, which they say 1 in 5 people will battle mental illness. And instead of putting it behind him and, you know, just burying, he's like, no. I've received comfort from God. And I'm going to try to give comfort to others. It's difficult as it was and what I went through. Now, all of that to say this, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're not a Bible person, you're not a church person, you're not a Jesus person, no problem. This church is for you. This church is for you. And you just need to know that there's some radical, crazy, fanatical people who actually takes this stuff seriously, who believe in a good, compassionate God who sometimes allows bad, non-compassionate things into our lives. And we believe anyway. And we believe to the point where many of these men and women that I just mentioned to you, and there are many, many other stories. I just received a story just this past week, an incredible testimony of the power and the grace of God. And I don't have time to talk about all those stories. But men and women who've said, you know what? I have been comforted for the purpose of comforting others. I am not going to bury my sorrow. I am not going to waste my sorrow. I'm going to leverage my sorrow for the sake of other people for whom I'm uniquely qualified to step into their world and say, you know what? I've been there. I understand that. I know what you're going through. And I just want you to know that there's life on the other side of that. And if you've been there, you are uniquely qualified to comfort those who are still there. And I'm telling you, this will bring purpose to your pain. It will instill life in your soul. So if you're here today and you're in one of those while I'm waiting set of circumstances, just let me be really clear, okay? You're going to be tempted to believe that you'll never be happy again, that nothing good can come from this, and there's no point in even continuing, and none of those nothing could be further from the truth, because you can be happy again. Something good can come from this, and there is every reason to continue living. The Apostle Paul said this, in one of the letters that he wrote to the church at Philippi, to these recipients, these first century recipients, they had a lot of questions, just like we do. But he made a specific promise to them, and it's a promise that God makes to you and to me as well. And here's what Paul said, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And part of that good work, for many of us, part of that good work includes some while I'm waiting seasons of life. So here's what I want to do right now. And Jamie, your team can come on up. We're going to wrap it up. I want to end the message today with a song, okay, that reminds us of this incredible, incredible truth. That God will in fact see you through to the end. Listen, that the difficulty that you're facing, that the adversity that you're facing, that didn't surprise God. It surprised you, but it never surprised God. And you just need to know that God is at work. God will continue to be at work. And you don't need to give up hope. And for all of you, regardless of what you face, you are now uniquely positioned. You are now uniquely equipped to take to someone else the very comfort that God's given you, if you choose to do that while you're waiting. So I want to pray for you, and then I want you to just sit there and listen to this song, and then when you're ready, I just want you to respond to the truth, this powerful truth that I hope is going to help us for days and days to come. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to pray with this. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for preserving these ancient texts, for preserving these words of Paul. And Father, many of us here today, probably most of us and maybe all of us, to some degree, have received the comfort that has come from you through other people. We've been the ones that someone walked in and we knew they'd been where we are. And the fact that they were still standing, we knew we could still stand. Father, thank you for the men and women that we just talked about and the many others they represent. Men and women who've been willing to bring their pain and bring their comfort that they received into the lives of other people. Father, thank you most of all for Jesus, for our Savior, for our Lord, that we worship a Savior who's not unacquainted with suffering, but just as He suffered for us, we have the opportunity to suffer knowing He suffers with us. So, Father, please give us eyes to see this the way you would have us see this. Give us ears to hear. Father, for the man or the woman or the teenager, the single adult, the single mom, single dad, whoever it is, they're on the verge of giving up, the verge of walking away and saying there's no point in continuing. I pray you would give them the courage to trust you. Even if it's just for one more day, that you would be for him, you would be for her, the God of all comfort right now in this moment. And we pray this in the amazing name of Jesus. Amen.
You are good. All your plans are for your glory. Yes, we can know you are good. Yes, we can know you are good.
Oh, so good.
The Lord our God is ever faithful, never changing through the ages. From this darkness, you will lead us, and forever we will say, you're the Lord.
Without you, we won't move without you. You're the light of all and all that we need. So we won't move without you. We won't move without you. You're the light of all and all that we need.
We trust you, God.
We won't move without you. We won't move without you. You're the light of all and all that we need. Yeah. We won't move without you. We won't move without you. You're the light of all and all that we need.
Yeah.
Lord, our God is ever faithful. Never changing through the ages. From this darkness, you will lead us. And forever we will say, you're the Lord our God. And forever we will say, you're the Lord our God. And forever we will say, you're the Lord our God.
You're the Lord our God.
The one we love, the one we trust. We live for you,
the Lord our God.
Amen. Would you stand with